So, anyone in the audience have any questions or comments? Anything? Anyone? Okay, so a motion needs to contain the contingency for purposes of approval. Is that fair? Is that appropriate, Cliff? It's an approval contingent upon what?
On legal review for sufficiency. Just to clarify for everybody, mm-hmm. I don't look at what you negotiated that I had nothing right. to do with. The price is on you guys. The length of terms of payment is on you guys. I look for whether there's anything there that's going to bite us, like indemnity clauses.
Okay. So the motion will include that the approval is contingent upon review by our attorney for legal sufficiency. Okay. Who wants to make that one?
Yep. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the purchase of the C3CX14 Super Backhoe Loader from JCB Incorporated for $122,000 and authorize the town manager to execute all associated agreements per legal purview and approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion is unanimously passed. Thank you. So we should have this resolved by hopefully Tuesday, maybe
all
Wednesday.
Right. You know. Well, and I really want to thank all of you for all of your support. You've really helped and supported Public Works with everything we've been doing so far. So thank you so much.
And thank you for working so hard and advocating, you know, that it all helps our residents. So thank you. Okay, 13C, this is the evaluation of the athletic court usage and future facility improvements. Jackie, thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Mayor and council members. I am here to provide an update from the Cultural Services Board regarding potential improvements to the town's athletic courts. As you all know, there have been discussions on how best to utilize the $180,000 funds provided to the town as a signing bonus, if you will, from the recently approved lease agreement with a cell tower within Pollard Park. Town Council has previously indicated interest in exploring the addition of pickleball courts in lieu of a protective cover over the existing courts. Provided with this direction and public interest and input regarding the existing courts, staff conducted an analysis of real-time facility usage utilizing data from the town's security cameras and the court reservation software to better understand court usage. If you want to pull that up for me. If I may, Mayor, I'd like to go over just a few of the trends that I identified.
Thank you.
So the first slide, of all the court reservations that were made between May of last year and May of this year, 94% of those reservations were for pickleball. And the pickleball courts within that time span are reserved over 50% during two major periods of the day, stated at between 8 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. and 5 to 6:30. It kind of coincides with cooler times of the day. Within cooler months, it's mostly throughout the entire day, that is December through April. Still only about reserved over 70% on average was less than 4 hours per month. Let me see if this works. Perfect, yay. Data with the security cameras and reservation software that was looked at for about a 2-week time span using those cameras. Surprisingly to myself, 25% of the pickleball reservations were no-shows. To me personally, that was a little lower than I had expected and what I had heard from feedback from residents. Additionally, the basketball court, there was an average of 6 people per day within that 2-week time span. And on Memorial Day alone, which was not included in the statistics of that 2-week time span, there were 17 different people that used the basketball court just on Memorial Day. And I did view a variety of ages, anywhere between kids, elementary school kids, teens, and especially young families. Overall, what this data collection really showed was that people really make reservations when they want a specific court, a specific time, both, and especially when they observe those higher traffic time spans. specifically, for example, if you have a favorite court that provides you the most shade at your favorite time, you're going to make a reservation for that on the pickleball court when you know statistically there's a lot of people using those courts for the same reasons. I did put up every single month. It's provided in my staff report, but I'll just kind of glance over just so you kind of see how it transitions over the year. Most often, they stay below 80% used, and this is just based on the reservation software. I did not go over a whole year worth, just 2 weeks of looking at the cameras to verify, but this is based off of our reservation software. This is when it starts to peak up above over 80% reservations in those cooler months that I mentioned. February, people did not like reserving at 4 o'clock for some reason. I don't know. March was a very popular month. I also wanted to note that day of reservations, they are still available. So this screenshot was taken on the day of May 30th. And as you can see, there are plenty of reservations that are available. However, it just depends on what your preference is. If you prefer shaded courts on the afternoon time after work, you're kind of stuck with the east courts that don't have the most shade during that time. And then additionally, this is my last slide. These are just two of the 7 full days that were closed in October. Those were full closure days of just the north courts. Sorry, the ginger, she was a little outlier. I don't know how she snuck in, but there are still courts that were available during that time as well. It just depended on how quick you got into the reservation system as well. Now, I just want to state that these tools really help provide, especially staff, an insight into not just community involvement, but also supporting data-driven decisions for potential future recreational improvements. The Cultural Services Board recommended making no changes to the town's athletic courts, reserving the $180,000 in funding for future town recreational projects, and installing a gate between the north and south pickleball courts. And I'm available if you have any questions.
Are there any questions? No. No.
Just one comment. I think the Cultural Service Department, when you sit and look at everything that they did, they really spent a lot of time of putting the reasoning why, not one location, redoing another location. I think they should be complimented as a committee for the job that they put together. They really did a nice job, and I like the way they did it. They talked about the traffic pattern down at Davies, alternate pickleball courts, getting rid of a basketball court. You know, I just want to compliment for a really good job and their recommendation.
Thank you, Bill. Gary.
Well, yeah, and you know, this is one of my pet projects here, and I think we're on the right track. Don't allocate the money until you really know what you want to do with it, but it's obvious from the data here that those pickleball courts are the most used facility that we have. So before we spend it on something else, we need to make sure we can't increase the availability for the pickleball courts. And if that isn't done, then fine, use it for something
right.
else.
And I think they even brought up that everybody should have an opportunity to be able to participate in the sport that they like. Even though pickleball court is the most popular, those tennis courts, the racquetball court, the basketball court, they're used. They may not be used as much because it's not as popular, but for all of our citizens, they still have the opportunity to participate in their sport.
Well, and I'd like to thank all of your work, Jackie, and the Cultural Services Board. I think that their recommendation is a fine one. I really do, because we're maximizing community benefit is what we're doing with this recommendation, I think, and providing us with flexibility. We could be leveraging opportunities as they come down and do some strategic planning. So I like the recommendation.
I have a motion.
Okay, well, hang on.
I know. I'm ready. First.
You're ready? Okay.
Go ahead.
Does anyone in the public wish to? Yes.
Oh, I did want to mention something. I believe when we talked about this last time, Councilman White had recommended setting aside a special fund to keep that $180,000. We already have that. That's our recreation impact fee fund. You know, when we get it, someone builds a new house, they have to pay a certain amount of money, and it's a one-time contribution that goes into that, and that's the perfect place to put that.
Can you repeat that fund?
Yes, it's the Recreation Impact Fee Fund.
anyone in the audience wish to say anything? Because and anything else? No. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to make a motion to place the $180,000 from the lease agreement signing bonus from new singular wireless PCS agreement into the Recreation Impact Fund dedicated to enhance, improve, and repair our athletic courts and facilities.
I like that motion. I'll second it.
Thank you.
Can I interrupt just a second?
No.
That gentleman raised his hand. He had a comment, and we missed him.
We missed you. Okay. Hang on one sec. It's only a motion a second, so I can still have yes. Come. Sorry, I'm so sorry. I didn't see you.
Shannon White, 39 Coastal Oaks Circle. This is a type of study that we really need to appreciate and look to, because this is, you know, it shows exactly when, where, and how our facilities are being utilized. And I want to applaud you. I
mean, Jackie, yes.
You did great. I mean, wow. You know, so as a citizen here, I really appreciate this. And it does also show the popularity, but it also shows that when we have some downtimes during the heat of the summer, maybe that's when we need to do the maintenance. So, again, congratulations.
Thank you. Nice data-driven. Job. We appreciate that. Thank you so much for your comment. And we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you again, Jackie. Thank you to our board. 13D, Volusia League of Cities dinner. Becky Hugler will be presenting, I see.
Good afternoon. Becky Hugler, Public Information Officer. So, as you guys know, every 3 years, we get the honor of hosting the Volusia League of Cities. And last time in 2022, we did it at Down the Hatch Restaurant. It was very successful, very nice. But with the opening of the new Pacetti Museum Hotel, as we were all there for the open house, I would like to take credit, but I have to kind of give Chief Scales the credit for this one. He had the great idea of the open field, and we started talking to them and found out that they are actually going to have a venue there where they have cleared an area. They're going to put tents up and lights for their events. So we spoke to them, and they were very happy to help us host that. Spoke to Down the Hatch. They did a great job with us last time. The new owner is super excited. I know he's been here to the council meeting to speak to all of you and introduce himself. He's very excited to actually help us host this. So it is going to be off-site. It presents tiny little problems of doing something a little bit differently. We're going to have to help them transport things and set up the tent and the lights. They are going to have volunteers there to give tours during the first hour of the event, so I think that will be really special. And if you guys we're just looking for some support from all of you, and hope you'll all be able to attend. Any questions?
Does anyone have any questions on this agenda item? Gary?
Sounds like, again, an exciting... exciting thing.
It's going to be a beautiful evening on the water.
It will be. It's a lovely location. Does anybody have any questions in the audience?
No.
Okay. Well, seeing none then, you want a motion or consensus, or what would you like? Because I can make a motion.
Consensus is fine.
Consensus. Mm-hmm. Do we have a consensus to... What the consensus would be to move forward to approve the event details as set forth in the agenda item. Okay. Do we have a consensus?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, yes. Okay. We're all good. Becky, thank you so much for all your work with that, Chief. Thank you. Okay. We are now down to comments from the Town Council. Vice Mayor Smith. That's you.
That's me.
Yep.
Well, thank you. And it's nice that I have another 2 years on the council. I appreciate scaring everybody out to run against any one of the three of us, so we appreciate that. And I also want to give an advance thank you to the people who are going to represent us at the EOC, because I've spent several hurricanes in the EOC at Broward County, and I know it's 24 hours, and I also know you're there alone and your family is somewhere else. And that is very nice that you have volunteered to do that. I know what you're going to go through.
Thank you. Okay. And we have Council Member Villanella.
Well, congratulations to the continued success of the three of you folks that I share this dais with. And I'd like to thank everyone for another successful council meeting, as they always are.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Councilman White.
I have a few words. First, I want to say again, thank you for the residents of Pines Inlet for reelecting our Mayor Lois, Vice Mayor Smith, and myself for two more years. We appreciate the trust that you're given to this council. We all work well together as a team, and we try to make the best decisions for our wonderful town. A special thank you to the town staff, especially Kim and Jerry. Jerry's not in here. I call them the numbers ladies. Your patience and support are unbelievable. I'm grateful that you two have guided me through the differences between the private sector business operation, my background, versus a state government operation. It is a learning curve. It's very similar, but it is different. And Randy's gone. Dadgummit, I made the, oh, he's gone. Well, this was for Randy. Some of the council and staff attended the cyber training at Daytona Beach Shores, and it's how to recognize a cyber attack when it occurs and how to mitigate it. And I'm happy to report that Joe V and myself were actually the ones that conducted the service. And if you believe that, then you got a problem. The guy was great. I mean, he was scary good. And I know I went home, and as everyone knows, I'm not a big computer guy. I used to pay people to be computer people. But, you know, it's funny. I went home and started doing things that I actually picked up from that session. And Jane has not turned me loose on her computer yet. She's scared to. But, you know, and I was going to tell Randy some of the computer problems I've been having about emails. It's probably because of me. I did participate in the Florida League of Cities quarterly ethics training on June 17th. And it was about how to conduct and participate in a town council meeting effectively. It's the second time I've sat through that, and every time I pick up something new. But I also want to make the statement, you can pick up the paper, you can watch the news, but how fortunate we are as a council here that we all get along. It's incredible. Every single day, and I sit there and shake my head. So thank you, council. Thank you, staff, for allowing us to be who we are. Lastly, I've signed up to participate in the Volusia Florida League of Cities Highly Trained Advocacy Committee. This will require in-person training and visual Zoom meetings. Once trained, advocates will work both individually and in teams to build relationships with our legislative delegation, advocate for shared priorities, and represent our region in Tallahassee and during committee weeks in legislative session. I look forward to this new task. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, as everybody said, congratulations to both Joe, Lois, and Skip. And I'm glad that you like me. That's unusual.
Oh, no.
You know, I can't say that on a regular basis, but thank you. Just a couple things. The shelter. End of May, 971 people have now been put in housing. We'll end of June we'll bust that 1,000 mark, and right now the program, the event of the 1,000 in housing is still in September. It's just a flux on the day. We originally thought it was the 14th, but it may be the following week. So I always thank the town council, and 93% of the people are still in housing, and we've busted 360,000 meals this past month also. And we do that. Our contribution is very minimal compared to the other locations, but we do something not because of the amount of money, but because we care about people and want to help them. And I always thank the town council and the town itself and our whole staff for continuing to want to participate in it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. And I, too, would like to thank our residents on our reelection, and Gary and Skip, congratulations. I look forward to another productive term with both of you and everyone here. I deeply appreciate the dedication and the hard work and the skill that everybody brings here to the dais. Thank you, and thank you to the staff. You know I can't say that enough because that's how I feel. So, a few things. On May 21, I attended and spoke at the Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting in Ocala, and that drew hundreds of attendees and about 170 speakers. This was on the managed bear hunt. The meeting featured diverse voices, including hunters, both for and against, a veterinarian, humane societies, law enforcement, and advocacy groups. The commission ultimately voted, though, 4-1, to move forward with new rules for a managed Florida black bear hunt likely to take place later this year. The key points of the proposed hunt, there will be 187 permits for 2025, and it's issued at a random drawing, one bear per hunter. The hunting is limited to areas with robust bear populations. There's a prohibition on killing cubs or females with cubs. They will permit the use of up to 6 dogs, bow hunting, and baiting. Large landowners, 5,000 plus acres, they can run their own harvest programs. And the goal is to manage bear populations and reduce human-bear conflicts. Now, you'll recall the town submitted a letter, and I spoke against the hunt, arguing it is premature since comprehensive population data on the bears won't be available until 2029. I advocated for less drastic measures like bear-resistant trash cans. I'm collaborating right now with the Humane Society and their legal team, citing enforcement and humane concerns, and I'll continue to monitor and report back on this. On June 12th, I attended a chamber meeting at Embry-Riddle with our Volusia delegation, that's Senator League, Senator Tremont, the Representative Tremont, and Senator Wright. They updated us on the legislative session and pending bills. A major topic of great interest for all of us was the newly created Florida House Select Committee on Property Taxes. And that committee is considering significant reforms on the 2026 ballot, including eliminating foreclosures on homesteads due to tax liens, requiring referendums to eliminate property taxes on homesteaded properties, and raising the homestead exemption to $500,000. But if property taxes are reduced, alternative revenue sources like business, sales, or consumption taxes will be needed or be needed to be increased. And as noted by one of the legislators, relief is an idea, not a plan. And what you may only really be talking about are tax shifts. Now, many municipalities rely on property taxes for over half of essential services. And I'm working with Mike, our finance department, to provide data to Representative Tremont, who is serving on that committee. And I'm very appreciative of that he's on the committee. Now, also as a member of the American Flood Coalition Executive Committee, I recently attended a meeting, and it featured a representative from the Florida Flood Hub. And that is located at USF, and it provides critical flood data and modeling for state and local agencies. And what it hopes to become and what it is working towards is a central resource for flood planning and resilience. We reach out to them for data, and they are a huge resource and will become a greater resource. Recent federal developments include a new FEMA review council that was established by a presidential executive order to advise on FEMA reforms. The council is co-chaired by Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, advising the president on FEMA reforms and submitting a report within 180 days. The council has already met, and they met on May 20th. Now, the Stormwater Management and Flooding Subcommittee, and that's under our Volusia Elected Officials Roundtable, continues to coordinate countywide efforts on resiliency and stormwater and flooding. Ben Bartlett, who you probably all know is the Public Works Director for Volusia County, he stressed the need for unified stormwater data from all of the municipalities because what we want is consistency in the data so we can all read the data together. And Donna DeMarsh Butler, who is in charge of Transform 386, outlined some funding opportunities along with Ben Bartlett, and you saw some of the funding opportunities as presented by our town manager. Next week, I will present at the Florida Floodplain Managers Annual Conference, and I'm sharing our community's experiences in flood risk reduction and resilience. These managers include experts from local, regional, and state agencies, and I know that our very own Hank Baker and Amy Pierce will be in attendance at that meeting. And finally, I need the council's consensus on this. I am attending the Florida League of Cities Annual Conference in August. I'm asking for a consensus that you appoint me as the voting delegate for Pond Sinlet on the Florida League of Cities. This is where we vote on the new executive board, we vote on the new board, and I will be there, so may I have your consensus to be our voting delegate? Yes. Thank you so much.
Certainly.
Thank you. Okay, and that is it. Mike?
Yeah, thank you. Just a few items here. The first is so that the public is aware, the two customer service counters at Town Hall are going to be replaced next month. Right now we have, they're basically sneeze guards. They were put in to help prevent the spread of COVID, but they are not secure. We recently had some incidents where people are trying to stick their heads under these things, and it's just not safe for anybody. So we're going to put in real secure glass. It'll have slots where people can share documents and that kind of thing, but that's going to happen in July. Second thing, I want to recognize the work of our volunteers in putting up the native plant ID signs at Ponce Preserve. They have the QR code on there where someone can get their phone and look and see what kind of plant it is and learn more about it. That was done with the help of Jackie and Barbara Davis and her group of volunteers. So thank you all very much for doing that. If you haven't seen them, go take a look. And I think we have a few out here in the grounds here at Town Hall. And then last thing, just wanted to remind the council, we do have a special meeting next week, this Wednesday at 2 p.m. That's to discuss the preliminary results of the stormwater utility fee study. So that's it.
Thank you, Mike. Cliff?
Mayor and council, I thought that Councilman Villanella and Councilman White are more correct than they could have possibly known. You cannot appreciate until you go to as many meetings as I do what it's like to belong to a functional governing body. As an example, without identifying the guilty parties, but someone could figure it out if they tried hard, we got to item one on agenda last night, 2 hours after the meeting started, the first item. So thank you for not doing that.
Thank you so much, Cliff. And now we have our final citizen participation. If anyone wishes to speak up to 2 minutes on anything that you just heard in terms of final comments from council, the manager, and our attorney. Is there anyone out there that wishes to speak? Okay, seeing none, then we are adjourned at 4:28, and thank you so much to everyone in the council. Thank you.